Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you. Welcome. And also we have Pastor Michael and the Eritrean Church with us here this morning. So welcome to you as well. Don't know if you know this or not, but their church meets in our building during the 11 a.m. service. We're delighted that you're here. Thank you for coming. Okay, so given that this is everyone together, I'm going to do my best to do this as quickly as possible, I promise, okay? As we begin, though, I'd like to invite a little bit of congregational participation. I've realized, Grace, you've learned all the lessons of how we say these things to our neighbors. Okay, so here's what I'd like for you to think about, and this includes everyone, whether you're young or whether you're not as young, okay? So, do you have a person or do you have people that you look up to? The ones that you maybe want to pattern your life after. Maybe these are people that when you're stuck, like I have no idea what to do, you call, you text, you message, whatever you kids do these days. But someone that you maybe talk to when you need a little bit of wisdom. Who is that person? Who are those people? People that you look up to. You take a moment, think about that, and then you know what comes next. Would you turn to your neighbor and maybe share who some of those folks are? So think about it. Who are the people that you look up to? And would you turn to your neighbor? Yes. I noticed that some of you are doing this and others of you feel the freedom not to, which is totally fine. It's totally, totally fine. You do not have to do anything really that I'm asking you to. My only hope is that you would do that, which nobody's listening, which is fine. Actually, totally fine. All right, I just want to share with you some of the people I look up to. Here's the first one. Who watched that game? Would you raise your hand if you watched that game last night? That's right. How many of you thought they were actually going to pull it off? Not me, okay? Not me. All right, and of course, last night would not have happened also without this. DJ Moore. Thank you, DJ Moore. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Anyway, okay. For real, here are some people I look up to. This is my grandfather. I talked about my grandfather last week. Wasn't he a handsome man? My dad wanted me to correct this. I'm not quite totally sure why, but he actually was not a 5-star general. He was a 4-star general. Dad was like, get it right. Apparently, he had 3 stars, and then when he retired, he was awarded a 4th, but he was a great man, kind, very gentle, humble. Here's another person that I greatly admire. Anybody know who this is? C.S. Lewis. I've read pretty much everything C.S. Lewis has written, and I'm a different person because of it. Maybe something that you could commit to next year, read everything that C.S. Lewis wrote. Okay, maybe not. Okay, anyway. And here's another person I really look up to. This is St. Augustine. St. Augustine was a very prominent bishop from North Africa, maybe the most widely read, widely published person, maybe the earliest philosopher, as people call him. But I just think of discipleship and life with Jesus through St. Augustine's lens. I also admire this person. Anybody know who this is? Madeleine L'Engle, yes. Wrote Wrinkle in Time. Anybody ever read A Wrinkle in Time? It's worth reading. It's worth reading. Her poetry, her essays, all of it. I love her. She was a woman who lived with quiet devotion. She loved Jesus. And so I also look up to these folks. Bill and Cheryl Hannawalt. Anybody know who these folks are? Some of you may know that these were our founding pastors, some of our founding pastors. And of course, I most look up to Steve and Cindy. Yes. Here's the thing. Here's what I know to be true. And it's actually borne out by research, which I'm about to tell you. No matter how old you are, no matter if you're young, no matter if you're old, you need people to look up to. Did you know that? You need people in your life that you look up to, that you want to pattern your life after, that you might want to text, might want to message when you're stuck. Okay, so I heard this talk. I want to share this talk about discipling Gen Z and Gen Alpha by this guy named Mark Matlock. So Mark Matlock, who was a member of the band Mercy Me, by the way, he's also the executive director of the student conference called Urbana. So Urbana is this young adults college age kind of conference. I think it's just college. Is that right? College, I think. And it's basically to activate young people to mission. Mark Matlock also writes for something called the Barna Research Group, which is a Christian sort of research agency. And anyway, Mark Matlock studied faith in young people, and he discovered a couple things, lots of things actually. I'm going to just share a couple insights with you. He discovered that real faith can be described two different ways. It can be described as robust, and it can be described as resilient. So let me tell you about robust faith. Robust or strong faith happens when we know the right things, doctrine, and or we do the right things, practices. Matlock goes on to describe robust faith as like the pyramids in Egypt. They're incredibly strong. They've lasted for thousands of years, but if you damage a pyramid, you can actually rebuild it. Did you know that? So in a way, it's strong, but it's also really fragile. Robust faith. He's saying, if you want faith that lasts, you need resilient faith. Resilient faith is, they're like trees, like the forest. Forests have this amazing ability to grow back even despite great setback, even fires. Fires actually can be good for a forest. Can you believe that? That's the kind of faith that you want. If you're a young person and you're listening today, you want resilient faith. You want faith that will keep you even during great setback, during tragedy, when you're feeling low or disappointed, when you feel some rejection. Maybe you didn't get into school you wanted, or maybe you didn't get that job you wanted, or that promotion you wanted. Resilient faith keeps you through those things. Robust faith has a tendency to not keep you through those things. And there's only one difference between robust faith and resilient faith, according to Matlock. One difference. Robust faith has practices. Robust faith has doctrines. Well, so does resilient faith. Resilient faith has doctrine. It has practices, but it has something else. Guess what it has? You guessed it. People you look up to. That's it. Full stop. Matlock calls them heroes. If you want resilient faith, you need to have heroes. You need to have adults or people that are maybe a little bit farther along than you in your faith journey that you can look up to and you can consult and you can pray with and you can text and you can message when you are stuck. I know hero is not the best language. It's the language that Matlock uses. Heroes, I know, can disappoint. I know that you've maybe found that out yourself. But anyway, we're going to use heroes for today. I hope that's okay. If Miss Lily says it's okay, then it is okay. All right, so go to the next slide. Research indicates the young people who have spiritual heroes. Now, I didn't make this slide. They did. So forgive the grammar. Anyway, heroes among their most influential relationships are more likely to maintain and grow in their faith and commitment. If you go to the next slide, 74%, I mean, I could share all these. Go to the next slide after that. Go to the next slide after that. And you see a comparison between Heidi and Zoe. Now, what's interesting about Heidi and Zoe is that they pretty much are the same, except for heroes. Heidi's faith, according to the research, will last. Now, Matlock is not saying you don't need doctrine. Matlock is saying you do. Matlock is not saying that you don't need practices. You actually do. But what Matlock is saying is, if you want to turn robust faith into resilient faith, you need heroes. And oh, by the way, Matlock also says something else. Your heroes, young people, can't be your parents. Can't be your mom or your dad. Young people are like, don't worry about that. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. No, they just can't be your mom or dad. Because according to Matlock, your faith shows up in a different way when mom and dad aren't around. How many of you know that to be true? That first moment when you are away from home and you've got a choice to make, it, your faith shows up in a different kind of way. Here's the other thing that I want to say. Because we live in a Christian story, because we're Christian people, because our faith puts us in a room where there are young people and old people, or older people, I'm sorry. We're intergenerational. We're multi-ethnic. We all have an opportunity, if we are Christians, to be someone's hero. In fact, there's not just an invitation. I think there's kind of a command about that, that we might disciple one another. Anyway, what makes someone a hero? How can we find a hero? How can we find the right kinds of heroes, like the kind of hero that Matlock says is so important to resilient faith? I'm going to do this very, very quickly. There are only two things that make up a hero that we're going to talk about this morning. We have a hero this morning. His name is Joseph. And if you're looking to be a hero, or you're looking to find a hero, no matter how old you are, should look to Joseph. And so if you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And there are two things about Joseph that I want us to pay attention to. I'll share those things here momentarily. But you need a hero. And how do you find one? Well, Joseph shows the way. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, everyone say it with me, God with us. It's the good news of Christmas. Verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name, everyone, Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Okay. So before we talk about Joseph, for those of us in the room who might be feeling a little uncomfortable exegetically, I'm aware that this passage is not really about the heroism of Joseph. I get it. Okay. I'm pretty sure that the main point of this passage is to tell the story of God who loves us, and his action for all of humanity through his son, Jesus. It's God the Father in this passage who's fulfilling promises. This is why Joseph, by the way, is called son of David. This is a fulfillment of the promise to David that he would never fail to have someone reign on the throne of the kingdom of God, and that person who is on the throne would reign forever. That person obviously is Jesus, is God the Father, fulfilling promises. There's lots of promises in this passage. We don't have time to look at all of them. It's also God the Holy Spirit who is the hero of this story, who is miraculously making the incarnation happen. Two times in this passage you see Mary is pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That repetition should make us pay attention. Finally, I also am aware that this is about God the Son, who is born because he will save his people from their sins. God intends to save all of humanity and all of creation from the real slavery, sin, and death. And he's going to do it through his son, Jesus. Okay, so I get that that is really probably the main exegetical point of this passage. There's another caveat. I'm also aware that Joseph is a man. He has riches, he has poverties. He probably yelled at his kids. He probably lingered too long on things he shouldn't have looked at. He probably maybe even cheated the scales of the market. I don't know. He was a man. I get that. He was fallible. He was not perfect. But that doesn't mean he can't teach us. There are two characteristics of Joseph that indicate a kind of heroism. If you want to be a hero, or you're looking for a hero, two things about Joseph that I want to tell you about in the last few moments that I have with us this morning. Okay, so two things. Number one, heroes, like Joseph, live their lives inside of a larger story. Now, the text describes Joseph as a man who is faithful to the law. Now, why is that important? It's massively important. What it means is it means that Joseph has founded his life on the Jewish story. Yahweh loves humanity. Yahweh has called the Jewish people his chosen instrument. The law is how the Jews were to act and live in that story. And Joseph is faithful to that story. He is submitted. He's constrained by the law. This, by the way, is why he has in mind to divorce Mary quietly. Okay? The law makes room for Joseph to divorce Mary after finding her pregnant after marriage. But the quietly is important. He wants to do it quietly because he does not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. He knows already that she will be socially tainted and disgraced to every single person that she knows. But Joseph also wants to do it quietly because he doesn't want to ruin Mary economically. You see, if he did it publicly, he could have impounded her dowry. If he did it publicly, he could have recouped any bridal price that he paid, but didn't do that. Why? Because he also understood the heart of the law. He didn't just obey the letter of it, he understood the heart of it. That's the kind of hero that you want and you want to be. You want to find a hero who understands themselves as part of the larger story of Yahweh and is enduring in self-giving love. That's what kind of hero you want to be and what kind of hero you want. Because this kind of hero knows how to submit. This kind of hero knows how to surrender. This kind of hero knows what it's like to live under authority. This kind of hero knows what it's like to live under the authority, especially of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've resisted the modern problems that we have. A whole lot of modern ills are actually solved by a person who knows how to submit. Did you know that? So there's this thing. It's called MCS. Anybody ever heard of this? MCS? It's a syndrome. It's called the main character syndrome. And what the main character syndrome is it's simply this. You believe that you are the main character of every story. MCS. And it's the unfortunate result of individualism. Some of you are thinking of people right now. Main character syndrome. Our world teaches us to live out of the main character syndrome. And everybody else is just a character in our story. Secondary one. We are the primary ones. Now, I could wax philosophical about why all of that is inherently problematic. I won't do it because there are children in the room, and this will take forever. I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't work. The MCS does not work, just like the MCU. The MCS does not. Anyway, okay. Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, of course, superhero movies. Anyway, MCS does not work. Heroes understand that there is a main character, and his name is Jesus. That's what heroes understand, and heroes understand how to live truly committed to God and his ways. They understand, they trust, they believe, and they obey. And as for obedience, second point, This is going to be quick. First point, they know how to live inside the big story. Secondly, they are obedient, radically obedient to the God of that story. So read in the passage that the angel appears to Joseph in a dream to tell him the plans of God and to tell him not to be afraid, to take Mary as his wife. Then we read the stunning verse. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph woke up from that dream, and he didn't spend the next few weeks in agonized wondering, but he sprung into action and did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He acted swiftly, quickly, radically. He woke up to obey, despite the fact that he probably knew that what awaited him on the other side was humiliation, was hardship, but he did it. He did it. Heroes obey, even when it's costly. Heroes are soft-hearted enough that they can listen and hear and then obey. Now, we have all sorts of problematic stuff happening with quote-unquote heroes today. But I believe that if you look for someone who understands themselves as part of the larger story of God and who is radically obedient to the God of that story, you're going to do okay. You're going to do okay. Heroes live under the grand story of God, know how to, they're not perfect, but they know how to repent and make amends and be humble. Heroes also obey. That's the kind of hero that you want. That's the kind of hero that I want to invite you to be. And now I get it. You might not ever have an angel appear to you in a dream. By the way, angels do still appear to people in their dreams. Did you know that? That still actually happens. There are some here who could tell you they have had an angel appear to them in a dream. We won't do that. I was going to say, if that's happened to you, would you raise your hand? No, we won't do that. Okay, all right. But there are people, I just want you to know that that still does happen. But I do want to say, whether or not you have an angel that appears to you in a dream, there are two other ways that we demonstrate sensitivity and softness of heart. Number one is we take this book and we obey everything in it. And number two, we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit gives us courage when we need courage. The Holy Spirit changes our insides, rearranges us. The Holy Spirit helps us to know beyond all human understanding that God actually loves us. But the Holy Spirit also leads us, nudges us, whispers to us to pray for that person at the gym or to help that person at the grocery store or to stop and wait instead of spring into action, maybe. Heroes have sensitive spirit to the word and the spirit. And so, there's one more piece of research from Matlock, and I'm going to close with this. So we talked about heroes. We talked about how the heroes are like a big difference between robust and resilient faith. And I'm not saying that this is full stop going to happen for every single person necessarily. There are always exceptions to the rule. But by and large, research shows that when you have a hero, and this is the last piece of research that I want to share with you, the hero is actually in relationship with you. That's really when resilient faith blooms. This is why I just love to see what's happening in our kids' ministries and our Limitless ministries and our high school ministries. They do these mentoring groups. They're actually not just another way to do activity throughout the week. They're actually essential. Because we're hoping that some of these mentoring groups, I think at least, some of these mentoring groups create opportunities for relationships that you might have with an adult who is a little farther along in your faith so that those adults could potentially become heroes. When you are in relationship with your heroes, that's really when resilient faith blooms. I've had the great fortune, the great blessing of some of my heroes becoming my friends. I pray that you have that blessing too. And I just want to close with two invitations this morning, all right? This Christmas, might you do two things. Number one, might you ask the Holy Spirit, the one who nudges us and leads us, to lead you to people who can perhaps become heroes for you. Maybe there's a face that pops up in your mind's eye as I just asked that. Maybe that person is someone that you can ask to mentor you. Here's the funny thing about that. Most people will mentor you if you just ask. Most people will actually do it. And notice I said heroes. It's having multiple, it's a good thing. Anyway, okay. And then secondly, again, as part of the Christian story with an intergenerational church with all this multi-ethnicity and diversity around us, we could potentially become heroes as well. Might you commit yourself to living the Joseph kind of life, that you might be a mentor to someone? Might you ask the Lord to show you someone that you could mentor? And maybe you could go up to that person and say, hey, listen, I just think I'm supposed to be your hero. No, you don't do that. But you know what I mean. Like, you go up to that person and you guys could talk and do your thing, you know? Because here's what I know to be true. I know if you've been in this for any length of time, at some point, God will ask you, God will bring somebody in your life. I remember the story of my friend who, this person just kept bugging him, kept pursuing him, kept persisting to just like, hey, can we have coffee? Can we have a meeting? And finally, my friend, you know, he got the message and he started meeting with them and their lives were changed. I mean, that's going to happen to you. If you stay in this Christian story for any length of time, you will have that happen to you. May the Lord open our eyes to the people that we can mentor. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Believe it or not, that's all I have to say about that. We are done. And so let me pray for us that the Holy Spirit might open our eyes and lead us to people. And then I will let you all go on your day. Okay, so come, Holy Spirit. You who lead us and nudge us and guide us in all sorts of different kinds of ways, might you lead us in these two different ways this morning. Lead us to people that can perhaps mentor us. And might you also open our eyes to who we can mentor ourselves, knowing that this is part of what it means to be a witness. Come, Holy Spirit, help us in our weakness and help us see where we are blind. I just want to pray one more thing. For those of us who walked in, and I just have this sense that there are people in the room that are lonely. And I want to just pray for two things. One, loneliness can be kind of a power. It can keep us isolated. So in the name of Jesus, break the power of loneliness. And give us courage to step out in relationship. Stun us with people who just come up into our paths out of the blue all of a sudden and help us to see who our friends are. Break the power of loneliness. Help us even in this moment to feel like you are with us. After all, that's what Christmas is. It is a physical manifestation of presence. And so be present to us in Jesus' name. Pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Merry Christmas. If you'd like a prayer for any reason, you can get prayer from these lovely people over here. But go out and be the church. Merry Christmas.